Sports Central.
Inside the 18-yard box. Early cross. Far post. Goal!
Soccer.
Well, let's look back at last night on the English Premier League in particular with Adam Jackson from 442 magazine. G'day, Adam.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Going well, mate. Life started post Jose Mourinho with a win against Lowly Sunderland for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge last night. But fair to say, though, that the fans weren't too happy with a few of the players still.
Yeah, well, it was very contrasting. The Chelsea fans chanted Jose Mourinho's name pretty much throughout the whole game. But you're right. There was a few players that got singled out. Hazard, Cesc Fabregas kind of got the brunt of it. But the players just seemed to play like a weight had been lifting off their shoulders. It was very relaxed, very composed. They were 2-0 up after 20 minutes, and they looked every bit the champions of what we saw last year. That said, you know, Sunderland, again, one of the weaker teams in the league, didn't offer that much. It was almost all about the narrative of Chelsea, how they'll bounce back after Mourinho, and Sunderland just didn't really want to spoil that, I think, and didn't really put up much of a fight. But they've brought in Gus Hiddink, who will be very familiar to a lot of people on our shores here. Who's coming to try and steady the ship, motivate some of their players and try and kind of get the best out of that squad that did so well last season. So we'll see how they get on. They've got the next four games are crucial, really. They've got Watford at home, United away, Palace and then West Brom. So they really need to kind of get the minimum. They're looking for kind of 9 points off those next four games to try and bump themselves back up into the top half.
Adam, it's interesting the observations of Hiddink at 69, so 10 years older than what he was when he, of course, guided Australia to the World Cup. And Dave Davutovic from the Herald Sun, a regular contributor here, making the comment to SEN during the week that he was at a function, of course, to celebrate that 10-year anniversary, interviewed Gus, and just felt that, you know, maybe it wasn't quite the twinkle there in the eye, but that he still had it. He still had that presence, that ability to walk into a dressing room and sort of galvanise a group. And I suppose this will be the interesting thing, the second coming of Gus at Stamford Bridge, whether he can, you know, restore the team and avoid a total disaster of a season.
And that's all he needs to do. He needs to come in. He needs to have a presence. You know, even though he was only there as an interim manager the last time he was at Chelsea in 2009, he won the FA Cup and he kind of left a little bit of a legacy there as to you know how an interim manager should come in and do exactly that. He's not there for the long term. I think he's pretty much. He might be done after this, unless it's a very easy managerial position. After he kind of lost a bit of that spark after the Netherlands stint, and I think you know walking into the ANZ Stadium for that function for the 10-year anniversary of the Socceroos, you know he could walk into any room in Australia and all you know and everyone be in awe of him. So whether that translates into Chelsea, into these new players that desperately need that that galvanising is yet to be seen. But it's a good start.
The other big talking point overnight is a continuing ordinary form of Manchester United, beaten at home by lowly Norwich City 2-1, and the pressure that has been mounted on Louis van Gaal. And this is, I suppose, going to be the story post-Mourinho sacking that is going to probably attract the most attention, I'd imagine, Adam.
Yeah, and the media have been touting Mourinho as the man to come in and take over that job at United, which it could happen, but I'd be surprised if it was any time soon. He's even came out after the game, Van Gaal, and said that his job is going to be questioned over the next week after that performance, and again it's that sort of mediocre performance that we have seen a lot over the last few weeks and we've discussed on here the last few weeks as well. Norwich had a very clear game plan here. It was soak up the pressure, hit them on the attack. United had 70% possession, which again is similar to what we've seen so far this season under Van Gaal. But they're just not creating anything. They don't look dangerous.
Yep.
And it was Simon Francis, the Bournemouth player, last week after Bournemouth beat United. They just said that aura around Man United is gone. It's not there anymore. So teams like Norwich can turn up to Old Trafford. They've not won there since 1989. You know, that just shows, you know, that how big an achievement this is for that lowly Norwich team, as you said. So, United just not good enough, and now they drop out of that top four.
Yeah, and places where they're very unfamiliar with. We're talking to Adam Jackson, 442 magazine, wrapping up the EPL from overnight. It was Southampton going into Tottenham 2-0. Bournemouth, 3 in a row. They are getting well away from that relegation zone. 2-1 against West Brom. Crystal Palace continuing their fine season. Adam, 2-1 over Stoke City. 1-1 for Newcastle and Aston Villa, who are both trying to avoid relegation. Although for Aston Villa, it looks like that is definitely going to happen. But, Leicester City. Here we go. On the eve of Christmas, on top, 3-2 over Everton. I think it's the first win at Goodison Park for a long, long time. And that's the question being asked. Are they the real deal and can they stay there?
So, they get their Leicester get their very unexpected Christmas number one. So that's them guaranteed top spot for Christmas. So just to put this into perspective, I feel like I say this a lot when I'm talking about Leicester. You know, you've always got to kind of put it how big an achievement this is into the perspective of football in the Premier League. They were 1,000-1 to be top at Christmas. 1,000-1. You know, and it's just unbelievable.
Gee, I wish you had some money on it.
Yeah, well, actually, something came out in the through social media recently. Leicester fan proudly holding his £5 bet that he put on Leicester to be top, but yep. You know, that, I bet even the most optimistic Leicester fans would have been laughing at him at the start of the season. But another kind of realisation as to show how far Leicester have come. This time last year, they were 3 points clear, but 3 points clear at the bottom of the table 12 months ago, and now they're 5 points clear at the top of the table. Just it's unheard of.
Phenomenal. Unprecedented.
Brilliant. But do they have it? That's the main question. And even their players and managers have come out and tried to kind of ease the pressure off them. There isn't any pressure on them at the moment. So, the teams like City, United, Liverpool are kind of dropped down to ninth now. Arsenal, to a certain extent, this is that continued pressure on them. But Leicester just don't have it. They're playing with this confidence, this swagger that they've got nothing to lose. And at this stage of the season, if you said to them you're finishing the top four,
yep.
But you'll probably finish fourth, they would take your hand off it now, bite your hand off. So I think they do have they've got the quality there, but they also they don't have the depth. And I think it's the Leicester's main issue or big question internally is, do they stick or twist, really? Do they go and spend £25 million in January, try and boost that team, and maybe kind of destabilise their current squad with the anticipation of making that Champions League spot or even winning? Or do they just think, let's just see how we go?
Absolutely. And just to wrap up as we come up to the 3 o'clock news, Middlesbrough top of the championship, 3-0 over Brighton and Hove. So the order changes there. I noticed in Scotland too, Motherwell 2-1 over Celtic. And Scott McDonald, of course, the Australian with that crucial penalty. Tommy Rogic was also playing in that match. Aberdeen, of course, beat Kilmarnock. So they're only 1 point behind Celtic now. So the Aussies having a bit of influence there in Scotland.
Yes, Rogic is getting rave reviews over there. He's playing brilliantly. Celtic, you know, they are top. They've got a game in hand, and Aberdeen are a point behind them. So it is a little bit more exciting up at the top of the Scottish league, which is quite rare of recent years since Rangers kind of dropped down the leagues. Rogic is, it's brilliant to see for Australian football him doing so well over there. They're calling him the Aussies Zidane, which, you don't get much higher accolade than that.